Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians. Last time we were together, we spent some time going through some background of this study, of this letter. And we looked at the first nine verses. But as I walked away from last week's message, I couldn't help but consider how there were so many things that were not said, and I felt impressed to touch on a few other things from this passage. I am going to review briefly what we looked at last week, but we're going to focus our attention on specifically verse 9. Look at verse 9, 1 Corinthians 1, 9. Look at it, I'll read it. God is faithful. Okay, let me say that again. God is faithful. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. You remember about the church in Corinth and the place where it was. It was in a very immoral city, a place that had many different people going through it. And this church, and realize something here, folks, this church was a first-generation church. These were brand new believers in the Lord. Apostle Paul, maybe 4 years, had planted this church. And so they're at the most 4 or 5 years old in their faith in Christ. These folks did not have parents that loved the Lord Jesus who had taught them to love the Lord as they were growing up. They didn't have that advantage. Many of us here do. Some of you, I realize, don't. And you may understand some of these things even better. But this is the environment in which they were seeking to minister and seeking to have a church. And as I mentioned last week, there were several issues and challenges that this church was dealing with in their day-to-day basis. And a lot of it stemmed from their past, from their life that they had lived before Christ. And now that Christ has come in and into their lives and they're saved, and now they're trying to sort through what doesn't belong. And Christ is beginning to show those things, and there's conviction. But remember, they didn't have the Word of God like we do. And so the Apostle Paul is speaking the revelation of God here as an apostle, and he is speaking it through the letter to this church, helping them through some of these issues. You see, remember, this church was dealing with divisions. There was different factions in the church, because the church, some of the people felt that whoever taught them and led them to the Lord, that's whom they were to follow. And you could imagine if that were the case here today, we would be splintered in all kinds of different directions. But the Apostle Paul had to deal with divisions. There was apathy towards sin. How does a church supposed to deal with a individual who is openly in immorality? I mean, that was just the normal day-to-day in Corinth. But now we're in a church, Apostle Paul is saying, that is not acceptable. Well, then what do you do about it? And the Apostle Paul handles that in chapter 5. Chapter 6, conflict resolution. Anybody ever have conflict with somebody else in a church? We do have conflicts, don't we? And how do you handle a conflict without just going to the judge and saying, just judge, just make your best decision, we'll deal with it? No. Apostle Paul deals with that in chapter 6. And then there's the whole thing of immorality at the end of chapter 6. There's people that were, in the past, they had been immoral. They were, if they were married, they were committing adultery. There was prostitutes at the local temple. This was just a regular part of life. And now things are different. How do you handle that aspect of dealing with immorality? That's a passage where he says, flee immorality. Okay, we're going to get to that. Flee immorality. Marriage, singleness. This is a passage that talks about, you know, what is the right perspective we are to have on marriage? What if there's problems in the marriage? What about divorce? How do we handle that? What about singleness? What if I'm single? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? What if I'm struggling with that? This is all dealt with in the book of 1 Corinthians. That's chapter 7. Chapter 8, honoring a brother with different preferences. There were different people that some things were offensive to, and other people it wasn't offensive to. Well, you know, do we just steamroll our own beliefs and convictions upon other people and offend them and cause them to stumble? And the Apostle Paul handles that in chapter 8. In chapter 9, how do you care for, what's the right way that we are supposed to treat the apostle? Chapter 9, idolatry. This is the passage where he says, flee idolatry. Idolatry is a part of everyday life. We go down to the temple and we worship this idol, this false god. But that's not to be the case anymore. Flee from that, church. Apostle Paul handles this. You know, as I'm going through this, I want you to realize something. We deal with these things. We deal with these things. I mean, idolatry, just for example, and this idea of idolatry. How many of us find ourselves going to technology more often than we are to our time in the Word of God, where our technology has become an idol in our life? We worship it, we invest time in it, and we could care less about how much time we invest in the Word of God and are cultivating our relationship with God. And absolutely, idolatry is a part of our life. Chapter 11, the conduct of men and women in the church. How were men supposed to act? How are women supposed to act in the church? Interesting cultural perspective there in chapter 11. The Lord's Supper. Boy, this was just, they didn't understand. They thought this was some great feast. And if you were late to the feast, so what? You're going away hungry. You know, they missed the point of the feast of the Lord's Supper. Spiritual gifts. Apostle Paul here in this introduction says this church is very rich in their giftedness. Well, how do they handle that? How do they handle the incredible diversity of gifts in their midst? What is the purpose of these gifts? How are they supposed to operate within the body of Christ? Chapters 12 through 14. Chapter 15. The resurrection. And Paul has to teach this church why the resurrection is a significant part of the gospel. Church, realize the resurrection is an absolute necessity to our salvation in the gospel. And Apostle Paul goes through and spells out the purpose and reason for that in chapter 15. In chapter 16, it kind of closes everything out. Okay, so God is faithful. Go back to chapter 1. I want to read the first 9 verses, and we'll just wrap this up. I want to make just this one clear point. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. So in other words, this is who this letter is from. This is God's apostle who's writing this. Verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. This is the church. This is to whom he is writing. Verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your God, church, this is your God. And I, an apostle, Paul says, am giving you a message from God. Verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Follow that theme of grace now. Look at grace. Grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Do you see the grace there? You're enriched. You are furnished richly. Do any of us deserve this richness? No, it's grace. Grace. You are getting something you don't deserve. Favor from God. That in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Apostle Paul is saying, the teaching has been given to you. The witness and teaching of Jesus Christ, you know. I have taught you. He was there for 18 months. Others have been teaching in the times between. Verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift. Or in other words, you are lacking. You're not found lacking in any gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. God is faithful. And look at what it says. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now you need to listen. Listen. What is He saying? What is He saying? By whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The fellowship here. This word fellowship is koinonia in the Greek. This is a word throughout the New Testament that is used to speak of the church, or it is a description of the church. And the way I'll define koinonia for us is that it is a close or intimate union or association with someone or something. So what you have here is you have been called into a close association with Jesus Christ, our Lord, God's Son. And so what the Apostle Paul is doing as he is opening up this letter and he's going to be addressing all of these different issues is he is providing for the church a foundation of assurance. This is your assurance. You are a part of this church because God has called you to be such. And you are a part of a fellowship, a close association, a intimate union with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we know that to be true from other passages, but we are the body of Christ, and you can't get any closer than actually being His body. And we are His body. But here's where what it comes down to, is He has prefaced this phrase with what? God is faithful. And so if you're like me, and if you face some of these issues and problems, and you have to deal with some of these things, whether they're in your own life or family, friends, church members, whatever it might be, they can be very intimidating, can be very frustrating, it can even be fearful. You can be fearful at times in trying to know what to do, when to do it, what's the right answer, what's the wrong answer, what are people going to think of me, all of these different things. But the Apostle Paul wants you and me to approach these things as we go throughout this letter with this in our mind: my God is a faithful God. And I'm a part of this whole thing because He's called me to it. He's called me to this fellowship. He's called me to this koinonia, this close association, this union with His Son, Jesus Christ. And if God has called me to it, He's going to be faithful to carry me through. He's going to be faithful to help me to deal with a division or a problem that I might have with a brother or sister in the church. He's going to be faithful to help me to do it and to do it right. That's what we need to do today. We need to realize and be assured of the very faithfulness of our God, because He's the one who has called you to be a part of His body, the church. So remember these things, church. Hold on to the faithful God, for He has called you to be a part of His church, His body. He will, as you trust in Him, help you to conduct yourselves appropriately in His church. My prayer as a pastor, my God is a faithful God, and He will help me to preach His word in a way that is accurate and applicable to His people. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and look at verse 13. We'll get to this, but I want you to see the phrase that's right in the middle of this verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But what? Say it. God is faithful. Isn't it interesting? Right in the middle of his letter, he goes back to the beginning and he says, let me remind you something, church. You may be dealing with difficulties, trials, temptations, but your God is what? Your God is a faithful God. He's trustworthy. You can count on Him. He's called you to this thing, this body, this fellowship. He's called you to it. He's going to be faithful. Go to chapter 15. Chapter 15. And look at verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the what?
Victory.
Victory. That's how faithful He is, folks. Victory. Victory. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we do here at the end of this letter? He says, therefore, verse 58, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so look at chapter 16 and verse 13. So watch you, stand fast in the what? In the faith. Quit you like men, or that's another way of saying, show yourself to be brave like a man. Be strong. So, that's like a pep talk, isn't it? The Apostle Paul is starting his letter, God is faithful, for He has called you to the fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God's called you to it. He'll be faithful to carry you through. And you will experience victory, that you may stand and show yourself to be brave as a man. The victory is through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Lord Jesus, it's a special time together today. I thank You for sharing with us this truth and that reminding us as a church that You are a faithful God. Lord, there's very few things on this earth that are truly trustworthy. We can totally count on that will never fail us. But Lord, You will never fail. You are faithful. And we have the advantage, Lord, of looking at the end of the letter and just seeing that word victory. Wow, thank You. That we have that to look forward to. And so God, as we march through this letter and as we seek to understand these instructions, keep reminding us, God, You're a faithful God. You're going to guide us and direct us through it all. Oh God, carry Your dear people this week. Be a strength unto them. Uplift them. Lord, bring opportunities our way that we might speak of the name of Jesus Christ to others. Lord, that Your church would grow, and that we'd be a mighty, mighty powerhouse for the name of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.